If you've been enjoying this podcast and want a super easy way to support it, you can simply find me on YouTube by searching Demon Creep. A subscription is a great help. But if you want to help the longevity of this podcast, my channel offers channel memberships for as low as 99 cents a month. Thank you, and keep enjoying the Demon Creep podcast. Hello, souls and demons. Welcome back. Before we get into today's true scary stories, I wanted to bring attention to my Discord channel. We have a little more than 100 members where we get together and chat, share music interests and memes. We even have an auto-generated cat bot, sending you cat pictures on command. So consider joining, link will be in the description below. Anyways, on to these true, scary stalker stories from Let's Not Meet. I went to college in a historic mid-sized city in Florida, and at the time lived in a duplex downtown, maybe 3 blocks from campus. The city is known to be pretty safe, and I lived in a pretty decent area with large historic homes near me. This story takes a place about 3 years ago. A little backstory that will become relevant. The duplex I lived in had a front door that locked, and then both the upstairs and downstairs units had their own locking door. I lived downstairs and had 2 roommates, but this specific night only one of my roommates was home. We knew the girls that lived upstairs, but only really spoke to them in passing. When they moved in, we emphasized how important it was for them, to keep the main front door locked. And they did a good job of doing so. So me and my roommate are in for the night, knowing the front door is locked, and smoke a few joints. At some point we hear a knock at the front door, and quickly realize the girls upstairs had ordered a pizza. Later on, it becomes evident that they never locked the front door after receiving their pizza. So we finally go to sleep in our own rooms, and since I had a queen bed, I would often sleep with my phone and laptop next to me in my bed. A couple hours after I fall asleep, I woke to a man standing over my bed. As soon as I realize I'm not dreaming, I notice that he is quickly moving my phone and computer off of my bed, and moving my comforter, trying to get into my bed. I start to ask him who he is, what he's doing here, and just generally confused. As I was still slightly high from before I went to sleep, the only thing he said to me multiple times was that he was just trying to get in bed. At this point, I begin to panic, as my mind obviously goes to the worst. I was hoping that maybe my roommate had invited some random Tinder guy over, and that he had gone to the wrong room. But the more I question him, all he had to say was, "I'm just trying to get in bed." I own pepper spray and a stun gun, but I had accidentally left them on a shelf that the guy was standing in front of, so there was no way I'd be able to grab them without escalating the situation. Realizing I needed to do something quickly, I blurted, "There are 5 people who live in this house, and if you don't get the fuck out now, I will scream and they will all be here within seconds." Luckily, that's all it took to scare him off. I don't know if that had brought something with him or if he had stolen something from me, but I saw him grab something in the dark and run out of my room. As soon as he left my room, I shut the door and locked it, and tried to find my phone. I couldn't find it anywhere, but then quickly realized that between my room and the front door is the room of my friend that was home. As scared as I was terrified that the guy had maybe gone into her room. So I grabbed my stun gun and a pocket knife, counted to 3 and ripped open my door. I ran into my roommate's room, but she was fast asleep, and there was no evidence of the guy. I told her what happened, and she asked me if I was sure I wasn't dreaming. I began to question myself until I walked out of her room and saw that our front door was wide open. I went to my room to search for my phone, and finally found it, hidden under a pile of clothes across the room from where I had left it. That sent a chill up my spine, as I immediately knew for a fact someone had been in my house and room while I was sleeping, and long enough to hide my phone, which only worsened my suspicions of his intentions. I ran back to my roommate's room, who at that point believed me, barricaded ourselves into the room, and called 911. Within minutes, there were police cars swarming our street and yard, and they yelled for us to quickly leave the residence and run towards them. At least a dozen police officers came running in and searched every inch of our apartment, and woke the girls upstairs, and searched their apartment to ensure the man had left. The officers then had me write a statement, and I gave them a description of the man. And to this day, I've never heard a single thing about the case. I feel incredibly lucky with the outcome of this situation, but the thought of his intentions terrifies me. And additionally, the fact that he was never caught scares me, as I would hate for anyone to have to go through the pure fear that I did. I will add, there is a chance that he was on drugs or mentally ill, and had no bad intentions. However, because he was never caught, I will never know, and my mind will always assume the worst. To the man who now keeps me up at night, let's not meet. Warning: potentially offensive language and content ahead, but I will censor it if necessary. I just felt it explains the situation at hand and the setting. Not saying that using slurs or offensive language is right in any way. It also came out longer than I expected, because I've only ever told this story to my girlfriend before now. This happened nearly a decade ago now. At the time of the story, I was a 15-year-old male, 5'5" and 132 pounds. I was a wrestler, so I always knew my exact weight and kept myself extremely lean, but still had a fairly muscular build. I lived in a fairly small town of 50 to 60,000 people, and in my off-season I did whatever I could to be somewhat active and outside. I had a friend, let's call him Blaze, who was really into disc golf, and always asked me to come play with him and smoke a doobie while we were in the more secluded parts of the course. He was a couple years older than me, but no bigger than I was. Just a not-so-great influence for me at the time. This small town only had about two disc golf courses, one at a very public park near a middle school, or one at the edge of town in an older park that was much bigger. Obviously, we weren't smoking for everyone to see, so the edge of town sealed-off park it is. Little did I know that on Thursday afternoons, this park happened to be my town's spot for gay men to meet and hook up in the parking lot. I live in the Midwest US, so these were not your stylish, young, pretty guys. It was mostly guys aged 30 to 50 who were pretty big and aggressive yee-yee looking. So we finished the course and the joint, walking out of the woods anything but sober. We typically either just chilled in the grass or played catch after we finished up, until my buddy was more normal and ready to drive back. We noticed that there were many more cars in the parking lot than there were when we got there, and a lot of older guys sitting on trunks of their cars or on tailgates, loosely grouped together. This very large hairy man in a tank top, and his tall thin friend dressed like a biker gang member, started to do the wolf whistle towards me and my friend. I got pretty uncomfortable, not because gay men whistled at me, but because we had to walk in their direction and I could feel the eyes of way more guys on me than I wanted. For a testosterone-filled weight room junkie teenager, I did not feel very safe here knowing there were at least 30 guys in this group, and I could see in my peripheral that a fairly large portion were eyeing us closely as we walked toward the parking lot. I'll make it clear that I am not a fighter, and I would never intend to hurt anyone aside from self-defense. But I was definitely confident in myself to hold someone off. Us two were just so outnumbered and not in a sober state of mind, so anxiety made things much worse. A couple of them said some gross catcall-like things. More whistles and that woo noise that rednecks make when they are excited about something or instigating. Similar to woo, but if Eric Cartman screeched it. I think they had the idea that we were some people they met online and were going to meet up. Being high, I didn't care what was going on. I just wanted to be safe and not the center of attention. When we got closer, the big hairy man who did the first wolf whistle said something like, "You think you could handle this?" And I just mumbled no thanks and tried to keep walking. He yelled back, "What was that, boy?" To which I just said more clearly, "No thanks, I'm not into that." He seemed offended and angrily said, "Not into what?" All I said was, "I'm sorry, I'm not gay." And he seemed to be offended by the word gay, again asking me to repeat myself in a very aggressive tone. So I corrected myself and said, "I'm not homosexual." Things escalated from here real quick. The man stepped forward from leaning against a truck and grabbed my wrist. He said, "We can fix that real quick. Don't get excited. I didn't do some cool fight move to attack him. Just a simple wrist roll and, using that momentum, a quick push of the elbow to turn him around, so that he would have his back to me and I could get by without anything more." He said, "Touch me like that again, and we will get the both of you." Another guy made his way over to Blaze, who was much less the calm and chill type of stoner that I was. I can only describe what he did as one of those kicks or sidesteps off a wall, but to that guy's chest / abdomen. He started to run and yelled, "Fuck off." Very quickly, bunches of guys began to stand up from their seats on the outside of their cars and motion to our direction. I started booking it for the car too, and Mr. Skinny Biker Man was running right after us. Thank God it was just him running and not multiple chasing us, or this story might be different. I was faster than Blaze, so I got ahead of him, and picture us running across a parking lot to his truck that was facing us, backed into a stall. I got around to the passenger side quickly, with Blaze still about 100 feet from the truck. He tried to cut to the right and make it to the driver's side of his little S10, but Skinny cut him off and sent him to the left, passenger side. I ran around the back of the truck as fast as I could to the driver door, and Blaze slid his keys across the roof to me. I hopped in, well aware that I did not want to be driving right now in this state of mind, much less in such a crazy situation, and even more less someone else's vehicle. Still, without thinking, I started it and skirted out of the parking lot while Skinny banged on the bed of the truck, chasing. That's not the end. A truck and a car are on their way right behind me. Skinny jumped into the car that was in the back and the chase began. Terrified and still high, I cut through the grass of the park to get to the main road more quickly, thinking I would lose them that way. These guys raced right over the speed bumps and around the bends in the park road, right up to the main road. And they were driving so fast I would have gotten T-boned if I didn't smash the pedal to the floor at the right time. I was so stressed I started silently crying while driving, thinking of how horrible the possibilities could be. Contact wearers know that when your eyes are dry from the smoke, then they rapidly get moist. Contacts tend to drift a bit until they find their place again. This is definitely not ideal for someone with awful vision, driving twice the speed limit down a road in the middle of town. So I started turning down residential streets and weaving in and out, being tapped on the shoulder by Blaze to keep my speed up because the two were still right behind, on my rear bumper. I even made some risky U-turns and they followed right along. This chase lasted over 10 minutes of me frantically driving through main streets, residential back alleys, and everything I could to try and get away. I was so scared that the best case scenario ended in us getting pulled over and myself obtaining a permanent record for DUI by the ripe age of 15. Luckily, a stroke of luck and a surprisingly quick reflex came to my aid. Blaze yelled "cop" and pointed to a parking lot to our left, where there was a police cruiser probably just waiting to catch someone speeding or running red lights on the semi-busy road we ended up on. I whipped into the parking lot and sparked a couple stalls down from the cop. The truck prepared to turn but stopped in the middle of the road, so quickly once he realized what was going on, that the car following him had to swerve and pop to curb, catching the officer's attention. He backed out and the two vehicles split different ways, and were out of sight before he got out of the parking lot. Never went back to that park any other time than the mornings after that. So thankful that nothing bad came of the incident and we made it out completely unscathed. No idea what they would have done, but people engaging teenagers in a car chase could not have had good intentions in mind. It was my first time in my life being sexually harassed, too. You would think being in a car chase might be fun or exciting, but I just felt so powerless and like I had no control. Like nothing I could do would get both of these guys away from us, and simultaneously not get me arrested. I just discovered this sub today on my main account, but was nervous to post it from it, due to the nature of it. Still wouldn't go anywhere near that place after noon again. I should also mention that you cannot have a driver's license in my state at the age of 15, so that was another one of my fears of being pulled over. I had a farmer's permit that allowed me to drive to work or school, or under the supervision of someone 18 or older. To start this off, I'd like to give a bit of context. This happened 4 years ago. I'm a girl and at the time this happened, I was 12 going on 13 in just a month or two. The friend I mentioned in the story was 14 at the time. The friend, Sally, who I was staying with that night, 14, female, was quite a bit older than me. At least at the time, the 2-year age gap was quite big. At 12 to 13 years old, I was about to start my second year of middle school, where Sally should have been about to begin her sophomore year of high school. I met her in the beginning of my first year at a new school. She was older than the other kids in our grade and was considered one of the popular kids. And I think that was what drew me to her at first. We became fast friends and before we knew it, we're spending every single weekend together. Seriously, every single weekend. Nothing seemed to be out of the ordinary. It was your typical Friday night. We carpooled to her family's apartment after school. I've always been a picky eater, so when her family had dinner, I didn't eat with them. I just snacked on the Pop-Tart that I'd stowed away in my backpack, in case they ordered something that I wouldn't eat. Something to note is that her family was pretty religious. I wouldn't go as far as to say they were fanatics, but they didn't allow their kids to watch horror movies or anything that was rated PG-13 or older. It didn't stem from the desire to protect them from something inappropriate. Sally's mother had an irrational fear that scary movies had satanic messages. We asked to watch The Purge, and her mom obviously said no. After some negotiating, she agreed to let us watch The Hunger Games instead. After the movie, Sally and I went to hang out in her room. She put on some music, and being the age we gave each other makeovers. By the end of it, we were looking much older than just 12 and 14. This part of the night is when things started to seem off to me. Sally wasn't the most positive influence. Despite being my best friend at the time, she was manipulative and got off on putting me down. She had a habit of talking to men online and lying about her age. Sally showed me some texts between her and the man she was talking to. I can't give you an exact recount of them, but they consisted of him trying to convince her to meet up with him, and just the usual things you'd expect from a creep online. According to him, he was 19, tall, and blonde with soulful blue eyes. Once I saw the texts, I asked if she had a picture of him. Something didn't sit right with me after seeing the messages. She showed me what he looked like, and he was clearly not 19. This man was at least 40, and looked like he lived in his mother's basement. Then we got a call from him. Sally answered without hesitation. And when I heard the voice on the other end of the call, I felt like I was going to be sick. "You're so pretty. Why don't you come meet me?" he asked. Sally said that she couldn't because she was spending the night with a friend. The mention of that sparked his interest. And then he proceeded to try and ask us both to meet him. Sally, lacking any common sense, said yes. Thus began her plan for us to sneak out and walk 15 blocks to meet him in a deserted McDonald's parking lot. I didn't want to go. I was raised on stories of what happens to teen girls who meet random men from the internet in person. But after adamant pleading from Sally that she didn't feel safe going by herself, I agreed. We took our phones with us for the walk. I had a kitchen knife stuffed in my bra in case something were to happen, and I needed to defend myself. The route we had to take to get there didn't have very many street lamps, and there weren't many houses. We were surrounded by trees on both sides of us. When we got to the parking lot, the only car parked nearby was a black beat-up 2000 Toyota Corolla. The car was still running when we got there. And from what we could tell, there was more than one person inside. The man from the picture got out of the front passenger seat and left the door open behind him before approaching us. I turned my flash on so I could see, and he was obviously on something. I can't tell you what kind of drug it was for the life of me, but his eyes were so wide, they looked like they were about to pop out of his head. He was jittery and kept twitching. I became very conscious of how big he was, maybe 6'2", around 280 pounds. For reference, my friend and I did not look our ages, even without makeup. I'm about 5'2". My friend was pretty tall, probably around 5'6", 5'7". We were both significantly smaller than him. The man reached out for us and caught my friend by the arm. I went to get my knife as quickly as I could, and that's when I saw his friends getting out of the car. He invited us back to his car and offered us booze and drugs. But after seeing my knife and that I was ready to call the police, he released my friend. I took Sally's arm and ran faster than I ever had in my entire life. We took the long way home to avoid them finding out where we lived, in case they were following us. Once we got there, her family was still sound asleep. We locked all the doors, closed the blinds, and blocked him on everything. There wouldn't be any sleeping that night. We were constantly peeking out the window. And to our dismay, that same Toyota was circling around her apartment building. Not once, not twice, but three times. I never mentioned any of this to my parents, out of fear of getting grounded or in trouble. I'm 16 now and they still have no clue. I still get nervous when I see a car similar to the one from that night. As for Sally, her parents never found out either. We agreed to never speak about it again. Thankfully, she moved into a new house just a few weeks after that happened. Safe to say, Sally and I haven't spoken in 3 years. She was pissed at me for ruining her night. And our friendship didn't last for too long after that. We had a pretty bad falling out, but looking back on it now, it was definitely for the better. So to Sally, thank you for teaching me a very valuable lesson and making me realize that some people are best just left alone. And to the man and his friends who tried to prey upon two young girls, let's not ever fucking meet again.